And everyone then, take your Bibles out, turn to Matthew chapter 25. The one principle I want to bring up this morning as I preach, and that is you need to be ready now. You need to be ready now. Don't put off salvation. Don't put off serving the Lord, because there will come a time when it'll be too late. And when it's too late, it's too late. Matthew chapter 25, beginning verse 1 says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Be ready now, not later. Now, I know some people that are in a situation now where they're being convicted, they're understanding, they're learning things, and not ready yet to get saved. I know that's the case too. And I don't want to push people to be saved too soon. When you do that, then they've made a false profession, and it's harder to reach them afterwards. It's harder to talk to them about salvation because they think they are saved. The hardest ones to reach with the gospel are those who think they're already Christians, but aren't. And we're going to talk about that this morning. But just thinking about time, and again, I just want to emphasize that. Is this the year of the rapture? Maybe, maybe not. You don't know. That's one of the main thoughts in this parable right here. They didn't know exactly when the Lord would come. They didn't know exactly when they needed to be ready. 5 were wise, and they were ready. 5 were foolish, and they were not ready. They thought they could get ready at the last minute. They thought, well, if I'm missing something, I'll take care of it just when the time comes up. But it's too late when the time happens. You need to understand, you need to be ready now, because when it happens, it's too late then. Now, not later. Read now, if you would, also Matthew chapter 24, beginning verse 46. Another warning about delay. Matthew chapter 24, verse 46. "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." What does the verse 46 say again? "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. When the Lord comes back, where will he find you? Where will he find you? Now verse 48, still in Matthew chapter 24, verse 48. "But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What's these two parables, these two stories that the Lord told? To be ready now. The warning is, if you wait until the Lord comes back, you wait until it seems like the time is close for the rapture or closer for the rapture, it's too late then. You need to take care of these matters now. You need to seriously consider these matters. It's like I've known people that try to get car insurance after they've had an accident. I've known people that have tried to get insurance on their house after it's burned down. See, it's too late then. It's too late then. I've known people try to get hospitalization after they've been diagnosed or realize they have some serious physical condition. Then they try to hurry up and get some hospitalization somewhere. Now, those are some things you need to take care of ahead of time. Do that spiritually too. Because the Bible warns here in these two stories, in these two parables that I just told, that you're foolish if you're going to think you're going to wait until the last minute, and then you get saved when you see Jesus Christ coming back, or you get saved when things really turn bad, and you know the time is very, very close at that time. You say, well, that's when I'll get saved. That's when I'll accept the Lord. And the Bible says, don't be foolish. You're not one of the five wise. You're one of the foolish ones if you wait and you delay. And the Bible warns us, and the Bible teaches, and I'm trying to tell you this morning, don't be foolish. First of all, this morning, as we consider, there's two kinds of people in this world. There are the foolish and the wise. Two kinds of people. There's the saved and the lost. Two kinds of people in this world. Those are going to heaven and those are going to hell. But the good news about the last part is you can change your eternal destination. You can change that today. That is not set in stone yet. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Until that time, you have time yet to be saved. But you need to take care of that matter now. But just two kinds of people in the world, foolish and wise. Those who are ready ahead of time. And those that think they can wait. So beware of that. There's two kinds of people. Number two, notice all the similarities between these two kinds of people. Between the foolish and the wise. First of all, they were all women. Now, in the Bible, women represent religion. Israel was called the woman. The New Testament church is called what? Bride of Christ. Even in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 17, that great false religion there, spoken of as a lady. Very strong wording is used there. False religion, too, in Revelation chapter 17. So when we see the woman here, we're talking about religion, we're talking about belief, we're talking about spiritual things. So they were similar to that. They were similar in that they were virgins. And they had not corrupted themselves with any kind of false religion. But they were virgins. That's a very strong word, very kind word, very good word. But five were wise virgins, and five were yet foolish virgins, too, though. Had not corrupted themselves doctrinally, but they were still foolish for a certain reason, which we'll get into here in just a minute. Also, another similarity, they all had lamps. What is a lamp picture in the Bible? A type of church. The church at Laodicea, the church at Smyrna, the church at Philadelphia, the other ones there listed in the book of Revelation in chapters 1, 2, and 3. He talked about their good qualities, he talked about the qualities he didn't like and that were wrong there and they needed to work on. But they all had lamps. That's not the difference, but they were similar there. In other words, they all went to church. It says also they all slept. Not just simply meant they rested in spiritual things maybe, but in some sense they rested. That's what that means. And also another thing they had in common, and they had the same expectation. They had the same expectation that they're waiting for the bridegroom. In other words, as we would apply it spiritually today, we're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. Maybe everybody in this room this morning is waiting for that. Maybe everyone in this room this morning knows that Jesus Christ is coming back someday. Maybe everybody in this room understands that, realizes that, but there still might be a difference here. And the difference is, the third point in my outline, the third thing I want to bring up, is that some have the oil and some don't have the oil. And these 10 ladies here were all expecting the bridegroom, picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, to come back. All 10 of them were. But five were still foolish. Only five were wise. What made the difference? The difference is in verse 3 and 4. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. The oil. The oil was the only difference. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made again. And the five foolish came to the five wise and said, give us of your oil. And they said, no, we can't do that. Otherwise, we won't have enough for ourselves then. You see, you don't go to other Christians to get saved. You need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the oil picture? The oil always pictures, Old Testament, New Testament. The oil always pictures the Holy Spirit of God. That's the oil. Here were 10 ladies, all very similar. They all went to church. They had their church. They were all expecting Jesus Christ to come back. They were all expecting the bridegroom. They were all expecting the second coming of Jesus Christ. But five of them were still foolish because they, and the only reason they are foolish is because they did not have the oil. There's people today that go to church. There's people today that have not corrupted themselves with false doctrine. There's people today that are looking forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's people today that are looking for the rapture of the saints when we take it out of this world in an instant of time. There's people looking for that, but they don't have the oil. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God yet. And yet they go to church and they don't have the Holy Spirit of God. They're looking for the second coming and they don't have the Holy Spirit of God. They're looking for the rapture of the church, expecting it, and they don't have the oil. You see what I'm saying here? Do you understand this? You need to be born again, as the Lord said in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, let me just read this. Because if you're born again today, you've gone through that miracle and God has changed you. You know who did that? Who makes a person born again? It's the Holy Spirit of God that makes you born again. It's not God the Father, not God the Son. It's God the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 3 in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, meaning unto Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily. Whenever the Lord repeats that word, listen carefully. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, capital S, Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit. You're born of the Holy Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the water birth, probably. And that which is born of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital letter S, is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is the author of our salvation. Unless you have Him, as it says in Romans chapter number 9, except you have the Spirit, you must have the Holy Spirit of God. You're not born again. You can come out to church. You can believe everything about the Bible. You can be expecting the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be looking forward to the rapture of the church. But until you have the oil, which represents the Holy Spirit of God, which means you're birthed and you're born again spiritually by the Holy Spirit of God, you will not go no matter what you're expecting. You need the oil. The oil. It's the Holy Spirit of God who makes us born again. It's the Holy Spirit of God that gives us the new nature. And it's not something we do. You don't become a Christian by doing what Christians do. You don't become a Christian by being baptized, coming out to church, living by the golden rule, reading the Bible, praying. You don't become a Christian by that. You become a Christian by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then God changes you. It's not you changing yourself. It's not you making your life better. It's not you deciding, I'm going to start to believe all those things in the Bible. But it's calling out to God Almighty for His salvation, a returning from those sins, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. Then you can be born again and will be born again. But you got to have that difference, the Holy Spirit of God. People today don't know the difference. A lot of people believe the Holy Spirit of God is emotion. That's why their churches are very emotional. And they think if they have the Holy Ghost chills, and they have it. What's it? You know, the Holy Spirit of God is a person. It's not a feeling. Now, when you get saved, there's emotions that go along with that. Absolutely. But you don't look to the emotion. You look to the Holy Spirit of God. You look to the Bible, the Word of God. And you call out to Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. You need to understand that. And so many people don't understand who the Holy Spirit of God is. They don't recognize the Holy Spirit of God. They don't understand His conviction. They don't understand that you have to be birthed by the Holy Spirit of God. And they think it's an emotion, or they think it's just intellectual understanding. And there's so many false spirits in the world today, as we were warned about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What was the only difference between these ladies that made five wise and five foolish? The five wise had the oil. The Holy Spirit of God. The five foolish did not. Now, I also want to bring up, there comes a time when it's too late. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 25 again. Matthew 25. There comes a time when it's too late. And I don't know when that time is. Charles Spurgeon said, and he wrote about the two applications in this parable. He said, it is evidently intended to set forth under a familiar figure, just a type, a picture, the need of preparation for the king's glorious appearing. Either when he comes to claim his bride, the rapture, or those that will sound forth at the hour of death. See, as Christians, we're either going to be caught up in the rapture. I hope that's coming in my lifetime. I'd be thrilled to have the rapture take place. You need to be ready now. Look at verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. They that were ready. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Too late, too late. There comes a time when it's too late. One of the three most dreaded words, why didn't I? Why didn't I? Why? Why didn't I get that hospitalization before I found out I had some serious disease? Why didn't I get that insurance on my house before my house burned down? Why didn't I get that car insurance before I had an accident, had to pay it out of my own pocket? Why didn't I? Why didn't I? And especially, I wonder about those who died lost. If that thought, those three words and that question doesn't cross their mind many times, why didn't I? Why didn't I accept the Lord? Why didn't I call out to Him? Why didn't I repent of my sins? Why didn't I accept Him as my Lord and Savior? Why didn't I listen to that Christian who passed out that track and gave me that track and talked to me about the Lord? Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I accept it? There's going to come a time when it's too late. It seems like everybody in their lives, they reach a time in their life somewhere. Some it's when they're younger, some when they're middle-aged, some when they're older even. When a spiritual interest seems to peak. Now, here's the problem. I see a lot of people that God's working and that interest is peaking. They start to get interested in spiritual things. Maybe they come out to church a little bit. Maybe they start reading the Bible. Maybe there's somebody at work at the office or the factory someplace who is a Christian, and you talk to them personally a little bit about things, and your interest is peaking, and then they get to that place where they're even convicted about their sin, but they reject it. Can you reject it? Old Testament example, Israelites did it constantly. In the book of Acts, we see a couple messages about that. God, the Holy Spirit, convicted the Israelites, convicted those people, and they hardened their hearts and rejected it. You know what happens after that? After they've kind of peaked in their interest in spiritual things, they start to go down. That interest starts to wane, starts to go away. And they were at the top of the hill, they were at this place where there's an interest, but now they're going down. And as the years go by, they get less and less and less concerned and interested about spiritual things. When does a person reach the place where they're not going to be saved? I don't know. I prayed for some people literally for years. Years and years. I want to see them saved. Christ wants to see them saved. He died for them. And yet I see this many times in people's life. Now I've seen sometimes when they get peaked and they lose interest and they get interested again because people have prayed for them. And that's all right. I'm not saying that once they start dwindling down, there's no hope for them. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, when you see that interest and you get interested, don't stop there. Don't delay. That's an important time in your life. Don't delay like these ladies did, the five foolish ones here. And they said they finally realized when it was too late that they lacked something. They realized when it was too late that they missed the oil, that they still needed the oil. They realized when it was too late. And friends, there will come a time when it'll be too late. There will become a time when it's too late to pray. There will come a time when you won't be able to accept the Lord anymore. And the Bible teaches time and time again and warns us about this. When that time comes and there's an interest in your life, spiritually follow up on that interest. Call out to the Lord. And when you see it dwindling, may that scare you literally almost to death.
when you see that interest for spiritual things in your life dwindling and getting less and less and less. Watch out at those times. Let that scare you. Let that frighten you that you're getting less interest in spiritual things. The Bible, the Word of God, salvation in Jesus Christ is the most important thing in the world. I'm warning you. Friends, I'm warning you with all my heart. I'm warning you. Don't be foolish about this. When God's working on your heart, convicting you, showing you spiritual truth, don't put it off. Don't slough off on it. Don't take it lightly. You keep following up on that. You pray that God will give you more insight, more understanding, and God will convict your heart more, and the Holy Spirit of God will work on your heart. And when you see yourself losing that spiritual interest and getting back in the world, getting away from the spiritual things, let that scare you. Let that scare you. What separated them, the wise from the foolish? You know what separated them? One word. Delay. Delay. They put it off. They put it off. Friends, when the Holy Spirit of God is working in your heart, now how do you know He's working on your heart? You'll have an interest in spiritual things. You'll be convicted about spiritual things. Don't put that off. There'll come a time when it's too late to pray. When the Lord said in the Bible, "Behold, I come quickly." The word quickly there does not mean the word soon. He did not say, "I'm coming soon." The word quickly there, by the Bible definition and the way the Lord meant it there, He says, "Behold, I come quickly." And the word quickly is to be defined as suddenly. Suddenly. When things happen, it's going to happen suddenly. And when it happens suddenly, it's too late then to change your destination. You need to take care of it now. Now. That's why the Lord gives you so many years in this world, so you can make the decision you need to. 10 ladies, 5 wise, 5 foolish. All of them went to church. All of them were living basically moral, good lives. All of them had their lamps. All of them were ladies of religion of type. But they're all expecting the bridegroom to come, all of them. The only difference is the oil. The oil. See, before I was saved, I went to church. Before I was saved, I was faithful in church. We went every Sunday. Every single Sunday we went to church. Rarely ever missed. But was I a Christian? I was a type of these ladies. I had the lampstand church. Compared to people today, especially, I was not living a bad life. But I didn't have the oil. I didn't have that difference. I wasn't born again. It was all intellectual, it was all understanding. I believed it with my mind, but I didn't practice it in my life. It didn't reach my will. I was not going to choose to obey the Bible and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. I was just going to believe it. I was not going to obey it. Does that make a difference? Is there a difference between heaven and hell? That's how big a difference there is. Father, I pray You work in people's hearts for spiritual needs this morning. And Lord, thank You for the reminder and the warning, the encouragement, the example, the parable that the Lord gave. Because He loves us. He cares about us. But we need to turn from sin. We need to turn to You. There needs to be a repentance, turning from our self-will and only desiring and wanting the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may people be warned. May they take some steps this morning and make some decisions this morning as they need to. Not just to believe it, but obey it. And realize that someday delay is deadly. They need to decide now. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to accept the Lord. So, Father, bless the invitation. I pray some people make those decisions today. In Jesus' name, amen.